Hey, good morning, everyone. This is the Pillaged Pastor, and welcome to another episode of the Pillaged Pastor. I think we are in spring here, and it's quite lovely. I got back on the golf course yesterday, quite enjoyable. Felt my body hurting quite a bit this morning. Going, man, does 18 holes of golf really take that much out of you? Well, apparently so. And it gets worse, people. Speaking to you young people who have yet to have an experience like that. But kind of hurting, but super happy that got to go play some golf and looking forward to some more. With that being said, we're jumping back into the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And we're going to see, once again, Jesus defining who he is, how he relates with the world, what he has come to accomplish for us. Good things. Stay tuned. Verse 12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony isn't valid. And Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect because I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own law says that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other. Where is your Father? They asked. Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. So crazy, a lot of good stuff there, but in regards to us digging into the Word of God, my heart in doing so really is to read this at face value, take it at face value, share immediate thoughts. And that's what should happen when you are just reading through your Bible devotionally. I mean, you are surrendered to the Lord saying, here I am, God. I'm digging into your Word. I want you to speak to me. I want you to speak to me and bring things to light. And so one of the first things I think about is how when we are in a relationship with Jesus and we do allow for him to take charge, if you will, taking charge also involves him bringing that, you know, that lamp, that lantern, that torch, and illuminating us from the inside out. And we don't all like to be illuminated, people. I know that there's stuff that I would like to keep hidden away, tucked away in darkness, in my soul, in my heart, shut behind a big iron door with, you know, padlocks, locks, whatever. You get the point. The idea is that when you give your life over to Jesus, you're giving him all of you. And that is something that happens. It's just the way it is when you're walking with him, you will see throughout the Gospels that everyone who came to recognize and realize who he was immediately felt completely unworthy, dirty, because just his presence, his identity, recognition of who he is and who they were with, led to that sense of, man, I am filthy. I mess up every day. I have sinned and I'll sin today. I'll sin tomorrow. I'll keep on sinning. I don't want to, but I will. Other times I do want to. To be honest, I think we all do one point or another. You know what? I just don't want to keep my mouth shut today. I want to say whatever comes to my mind and I'm going to go ahead and say it. And I don't care what you think, right? So if that's the kind of day that you're going to have today, but the idea is that with him, your heart is illuminated, your soul is illuminated, and you will find things about yourself that you already didn't like, and they're going to be amplified before you. And he's going to want you to hand those things over and let him rule in those areas. Is it anger? He's going to say, hey, you do have an anger issue. I'm exposing it right here. You know, I've got the spotlight on it, and I know you don't like that. Some people walk away from Jesus and don't even go to church because they don't want sin to be exposed in their life and have to deal with it. But that is a life following Jesus and giving him control. And how he shines that light into our lives is by way of the Holy Spirit. So just to say this, expect it that that's a normal, healthy part of the Christ following life, is to regularly say, is there something in me that you can take from me or give me strength to overcome? What needs to be uprooted in my life? And to be honest with self about holding on to it or not. I've told Jesus many, many times, you know, I'm holding on to that. I want it. I'm not giving that up. You know, how can I just walk? Can't I just walk with you without giving that sin up? You know, that addiction up, whatever it might be. It's and his answer is no. You know, you got to take up your cross. You know, and follow me. Like, you have to give up everything in order to take hold of so much more, such greater things that he will lead you into. And we want these little things that kill in our lives, and yet he's leading us into, you know, a greater land, a greater place, a greater experience, greater abundance. And we're wanting to hold on to this garbage because we think there's security in certain things that we won't give up and let go of. Lack of forgiveness, not willing to forgive people. We're being harmed worse by staying in that state of unforgiveness. You can go on and on, whatever it is for you. You know, if you were to be honest with yourself and actually say, you know, I'm not only just going to read my Bible today, but when I read my Bible, I'm going to give Jesus permission to speak to me, and I am ready and willing to do what he tells me to do. I don't think a lot of Christians do that, because I don't believe that a lot of Christians actually want to hear from Jesus. They're afraid of what they're going to hear. Is he going to reject them? Is he going to make them give something up that they want to hold on to, a relationship that they want to hold on to, whatever it might be? So when I look at this statement of Jesus, I am the light of the world, that's what I think about. I'm like, well, he's going to be the light in me. He is the light in me. And there's a lot of times I don't want him to be that. I don't want him to be that. I want him to be a yes man. Well, these Pharisees that were trying to figure out who he is, they wanted him to be a yes man, and they hated him because he was not. And so we have a Jesus, a God man, who is not a yes man. And that is the reason, of course, so many do not put their trust or faith in him. And yet maybe they just blame it on religion. They blame it on the church of saying, well, I could never see myself going to church, or I'm not a religious person. Well, you don't have to be a religious person, and you don't even have to consider initially going to church. You just have to decide what you're going to do with Jesus, right? I mean, ultimately, you have to come to ask Jesus, who do you say that you are? And do I accept that, or do I not accept that? And so throughout the Gospel of John, throughout the Gospels, it is quite evident who he says that he is, who his disciples believed him to be. Everybody had their own identity, own take on Jesus' identity. But ultimately, who cares about everybody else? We have to decide for ourselves who we say he is. And we have to decide, believe it or not, on a daily basis, because I can wake up today and not want to follow him, not want to recognize who he is, and think that I'm on my own mission. I'm going to have my own day. You know, I'm going to satisfy my own appetites and not take into consideration who he is or my relationship with him. And that's, you know, that's, again, a choice that we make on a daily basis. But I know who he's not going to be today. He's not going to be my yes man. He's not going to pretty much say, yeah, whatever you want to do, you can have a relationship with me and still do everything that you want to do. Don't worry about me. I'm not going to be offended. No, go ahead. Go do whatever you want. See, the choice, of course, is there, but it is a lot more serious to Jesus. Yes, you have freedom. There is freedom. You have the ability to make your own choices. And I want those choices to be in light and inspired by the Spirit of God, my Spirit in you. And so where your choices do not align with the heart of God, where your desires do not align with the heart of God, you can even surrender that. I can be honest before God and say, Jesus, I don't want to do everything that you tell me to do. And I feel guilty. And you know what? That guilt can be quite good in those times, right? Because it is as a child knowing what their parent wants of them and what they should do, and not just not wanting to do that, but going and doing the opposite of what they've been instructed to do. And so he's still there. He's like, you've got this choice. And I know those desires that are at work within you, the desires that are contrary to the Spirit of God within you. And it's a process of surrender for you to experience freedom from what the body, the flesh, wants to do, your sinful nature, freedom from that, and inspiration to do what God would have you do. God, change our very desires, basically. Like, uproot all the wickedness, shine your light, show me what's really going on, and may I be willing, whenever you shine your light and say, get rid of this in your life, may I be willing to take that out, hand it over to you, maybe at times in tears, and say, okay, take up residence in me and work on me. You have my permission, and I will be obedient to you so that I can have better things, so that I can take a hold of things that matter and things that will last for eternity, so that I can attain an eternal reward and store up for myself treasures in heaven. And so Jesus, of course, will go on later to talk about how we are the light of the world, a light in the world, right? And we will go throughout as lamps exposing darkness just by our very presence. It isn't even by our words necessarily. It is by the presence of the Holy Spirit in a certain situation who is residing in us. So as we enter into a particular situation, area, circumstance, we will be seen as a light, and wickedness will be brought to light just by the very presence of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. Let's take a break. In Isaiah 9:2, we read, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. A prophecy 700 years before Jesus rolls onto the scene. And here he is. They are seeing a great light. And it is Jesus. And when we approach him, that's what we see. That's who he is. That's what we will see. That is what our experience will be of him. A person who, in a sweet way, it's really hard for me to put it in words, but I don't feel condemned when approaching Jesus. He says here in our passage today, I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect. There will come a time when Jesus will judge. But when I approach Jesus, I don't feel that judgment. But I also don't feel permission to continue living, you know, like a bat out of hell. In Matthew 4:16, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. I just love the way it's worded there, where death casts its shadow. You know, I have to admit something. Like, there is oftentimes where I just feel like that shadow, like I'm living in that shadow that death is casting. It's a darkness. It's a lack of hope. It's like I'm buried and there's no way out. And it frustrates me because if I'm walking with Jesus, I should have hope. I should have confidence. I should have no fear. And you have to ask yourself, what's really going on there? And I think that the root of that is sometimes we feel that we've gotten ourselves in such a mess. We've gotten buried in our own bad decisions that there is no help available to us. No help available to me. Now, that is a lie, though, and yet I still believe it. I tend to just naturally be more pessimistic than optimistic. Ryan's flesh is pessimistic. The Spirit of God is optimistic. Ryan's flesh believes the lies. Ryan's spirit knows the truth, but it's just so hard. Right? Anybody out there resonate with that at all? That there's times when you do feel that death is casting that shadow over your life and you are believing the lies in the darkness. Last but not least, Psalm 36:9, for you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. But the light by which we see. We have no ability to see the true, genuine, real reality of all things about us. But who makes those things known to us? It is the Lord. It is He who shows us what's really going on, shines a light and says, hey, this is your true circumstances. Here is the true reality of how it is. And that's a good thing, because there's a lot of times I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I need the Lord to kind of shine a light on my circumstances. And I need Him right now to be the light in my life. So we've talked about from the inside out, but on the outside, I need a light. I need to understand my circumstances. I need to understand even how to pray for my kids. I need to understand what the Lord would have me do with work or decisions that I have to make on a daily basis. I need that light. I need Him to shine and expose the reality. And if we can see the reality, then we won't believe so many lies, right? And so I need Him not only to shine that light within me, but I need Him to equally shine that light about me and my circumstances, to see what's really going on and show me the true reality of things. Now, would I rather choose one thing over another? Yes. Like, I don't necessarily always want the light shining within my soul, right? By way of the Holy Spirit, like bringing to light things that I need to work on or that I need to hand over to the Lord. I would rather say, hey, can you just more so be the light outside of myself, be a light in my circumstances so that I can see the true, genuine reality about me, the truth of my nature? I want to see, and I'm talking about this, if you still are not catching what I'm saying as well, is some people believe they have even their own angel, like assigned to them from birth, and this angel just stays tried and true to you, takes you through your circumstances. I don't know about that, but what if literally all around us there is a heavenly host, there is an angel with us? What if that is the reality? But Show me the spiritual reality. Show me the other realm. Show me the true circumstances of my situation, whether that be an angel protecting me or guarding me from, you know, Satan's onslaught. But wouldn't that be cool? And yes, it is possible. It is possible for him to shine a light on our circumstances. This is the Pillage Pastor. Grace come down for such a sinner as I, and for such a sinner as you.